our privilege this evening to have Brother Paul Pritchard, our missionary, now laboring kind of stateside, laboring in Brazil and different places, Africa and other things. But he's been a faithful missionary for many, many years, and he could tell us obviously more about that. I know he and I have just really recently been able to meet one another in the last several months and spend some time together. He taught our Sunday school class a couple months ago or a month or so ago, and I had knee replacement in May. And he's just going after it, and so we're thankful for our faithful missionaries, thankful that our missions dollars are supporting men like you, and Amen. We're thankful for you. And he's going to come at this time. He's going to share a presentation with us and by video and some things he'll say about it in advance, and then he'll preach God's word for us this evening. Brother Amen. Pritchard, you come.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Amen. Good evening. Good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it, tonight? Thank God for His goodness and grace. I do have a presentation about 5 minutes I would like to share with you. I am working in Brazil, going in and out of Brazil, but I'm also working with my son, Preach Evangelistic Ministries, helping him to raise money for Tons of Truth. And we raise money, of course, to take the scriptures into Africa and as well as into Brazil. We just shipped over a year now that we shipped 40-foot containers, to Brazil, South America. And I get reports just about constantly, every week, of people being saved and them worn out and witnessing and taking this gospel out into the highways and into the hedges to win people for the Lord. So this presentation tonight is got to do with Tons of Truth. And the Lord willing, when I have another opportunity, I will share with you a presentation that we have of Brazil, South America as well. People been saved and churches that's been established and things that are going good there in Brazil. So we praise the Lord for that. Thank God that the Lord's given us the privilege to train up men in Brazil. And those men today are running the church, witnessing and doing the work of the Lord there in Brazil. I thank God for the Bible, the Word of God, and that's what they stand on. That's what they've been taught, and that's what God has taught them to be able to stand on the Word of God. And they're doing a great job for the Lord. But this is just a presentation. You may know them and may not, but my two grandkids are in this film, as well as my grandson is in this film, Philip. He is over Tons of Truth, and we're trying to work and raise money for that. The Lord, I want to raise enough for 20 ton by October the 1st, 20 ton, and it's $800 a ton to ship it, to pick it up, to take it to the destination overseas. So just pray the Lord has helped. Since July, actually, part of June and July, the Lord has given us $7,800 toward that. So we praise the Lord for that. So continue to pray. And I'd just like you to see this film. And it's my daughter-in-law singing in this film. So it's a family thing. So thank the Lord.
People need the Lord.
Amen. Amen. People need the Lord. Amen. I praise the Lord that we have the privilege of taking the gospel to those in Africa and those in Brazil, Guinea-Bissau. We've been in Guinea-Bissau as well. These are countries that speak Portuguese. And so if anything falls out tonight while I'm preaching, you don't worry. It's probably just a word that, in Portuguese. So... praise the Lord. You know, we sing pledges, don't we? We sing pledges, and I do pledge allegiance to our flag. But I pledge allegiance to the American flag and the Christian flag. And I also pledge my allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet. And I will hide its words in my heart that I not sin against God. I believe the Bible is the word of God. I believe it is the power of God, the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. And I know God is able to use the Bible, use his word. And he has preserved his word. A lot of churches around the country are struggling. And we certainly need to pray for churches. I go into a lot of churches that are struggling, and you have other churches, thank God, that are working and laboring and going for the Lord. And many times I'll sit down with the pastor, and I ask him, Pastor, how is your mission program? And they'll say, well, it's not so good. We're not able to help missions. And you know what? We're not able not to help missions. Missions is the heart of God. Missions, the purpose of this church here tonight and churches is to reach the gospel, reach the people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think God needs us to be able to kind of rekindle our hearts, don't we? And I praise the Lord above for this church and for the monies that you give to missions. This is one of the givenest churches that I know. And I praise God for it. I was at Tabernacle for 25 years in Greenville, South Carolina. And Dr. Seiler was a mission-minded, mission-hearted pastor that went out after missions and give much to missions. And this church does as well. And the mission of the church is the Great Commission. It's to reach out to people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most churches today are trying to survive, but I thank God we need to thrive. Amen. We need to move forward with the Word of God and with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just simply trying to preserve what we've had in the past, but reaching out as you do here, reaching out to young people, reaching out in visitation, reaching out and inviting people into the house of God. And we just need to have that rekindled in our hearts every day. I love to go out. Thank God for the goodness of God. I told Brother Man that I'd want to come and try to do some visiting here as well. But that's what I did all my life in Brazil, walk the streets and visit and win people to the Lord. And I'll tell you, it's more than just surviving. Thank God it's moving forward for God and His glory. And I praise God for the church here, that the men of this church, the leaders of this church, that continue to pray and continue to go forward for God. Focus, get our focus. I read an illustration one time. You know, Jesus said a man had 99 sheep. No, he had 100 sheep, right? He had 100 sheep. And one went astray. What would he do? Would he leave the 99 and go after the one? And how important that is. One man said that if you had four children and you invited all four children to come and eat lunch with you and only three showed up, would you be satisfied with 75%? I don't think so. God help us to reach for people and reach for, have our focus on the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Churches are closing. Churches are being not able to survive in these days. But I thank God we don't need to just preserve it. We need to go forward and try to reach others with the gospel. There's always another one. Amen. There's always another one that needs to be reached with the Lord and with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for praying for us. We have been a member here at Buffalo Ridge since 2004. Now, by just thinking, well, I haven't even seen Brother Pritchard that much since 2004. But thank God, God's having us to work and labor for Him. Even though we may not be here in this church, we're trying to help and preach and do the work of the Lord in other areas. So you pray that the Lord will help us. Pray for our son, Paul Jr. He had a triple bypass surgery on Friday. He is still in intensive care, and so I'm going to try to drive tonight or in the morning to go to Springfield, Missouri, and you pray that the Lord will help us, give us a good trip. Sharon is going to try to go. She's in bed right now. She said, no, you come home, and you get me to the car, and she's going to try to make the trip as well to see her son. So pray for us tonight, and pray that God will continue to help us. I got three words in the message I want to preach to you tonight. If you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. And I won't take a long time, but I appreciate Buffalo Ridge. Appreciate what you do for the Lord. And appreciate all the members. I love you and thank you for being here tonight, being in the house of the Lord. Praying for Dr. Stevens as well. And praying for Daniel and Brother Bob and others. As you lead this church forward for His glory and honor, it's the Lord's house. Amen. It's not our house. It's the Lord's house. And the Lord is in control. And we're praying. We're praying for all the situations that are going on. As a matter of fact, it hadn't been too long ago today that I've been praying about the situations and things that's going on, and pray that God will lead the men. You know, you need to be led of the Lord. Amen. And God can. You know, I've never failed. You know, God has never failed me. If I pray, he always gives me an answer. He just does. He always gives an answer from the Bible, and that's where we need you. So the film tonight of these children, we visited 52 public schools, and we put in the hands 42,000 packets in these children's hands. There was one school that had 3,000 students, and we was there about 17 days. 3,000 students, and they had one area, a large area, and they said, "We can't put all the students there, but what we will do, we will send you 200 students at a time." So they would send us 200 students. We'd give them the Bibles, the packets, and I'd preach to them, or I'd translate for one of the other preachers to preach. Preach to them about 10 minutes, send them back and bring 200 more. Send them back, bring 200 more. Send them back, bring 200 more. And I had a day. And then we were having revival every night. After all of the work in the schools, we'd go and have revival. We had over 30 people saved in that revival. And some of the people that you've seen, that the big smile on the face, that's some of those that got saved. So I'll tell you, getting saved will put a smile on your face. Amen? Getting born again, saved by the grace of God. I've been happy for over 50 years. When God saved me over 50 years ago, around 56 years ago, God saved me. And I'll tell you what, God put a joy in my heart. He put a smile in my soul, and it's still there today. Amen? When God called me to preach, he called me in 1976 to preach the gospel. And God just put something in my soul to preach and give out the gospel. I was nervous. I'll tell you, the first time I preached, I was nervous as I could be. And tonight, I'm nervous as I could be, okay? So things don't change that way. But anyway, I preached a little short message on my first time I preached. Man, I'll tell you, I was so nervous. And thank God the pastor got up and gave an invitation. And a young man by the name of Stephen, he came forward, brother. He came forward and got saved. First time he'd ever been in church. I'd been working with him for 2 years on the job, you know, public job. And I went in and told him, I said, "Brother, God called me to preach yesterday." And he said, "Preach?" He said, "You've been preaching to me for 2 years. And I said, "I know I'm going to preach Wednesday night. Would you come?" You know, he came and got saved that night. You know what the Lord spoke to my heart about? He said, "Son, you keep doing that, and I'll keep doing this. You keep preaching the gospel, and I'll keep saving." And I haven't heard from him for probably close to 40 years. 40 years. And he calls me. He FaceTimed me. I didn't know who it was, so I just shut the phone. Called me again. I shut the phone. Called me again. I shut the phone. And third or fourth time, I finally opened the phone. And he said, this is Kenny. This is Kenny. And I said, "Where are you at?" He said, "I'm in Arizona." And he said, "I just want to thank you for not giving up on me." He said, "I've been preaching." So praise God for that. Amen. Matthew chapter number 9. Sometimes people talk until they get over the nervousness, and then the time's gone. So anyway, amen. Matthew chapter number 9, verse 35 says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages." Oh, I hear those pages. I'll wait a second, okay? Matthew chapter number 9, verse 35. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love and mercy, Father. Thank you tonight for the privilege that we have to be in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, Thank you, Father, for this great church that you've raised up and all the years and faithfulness of so many that have made this church what it is tonight. But Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name, God, that you would help us as a member of this church to pray daily for this church, that God would raise up the pastor, Lord, that would have a true heart and desire to move forward for you and for your glory. And these young men that are here, we thank you for each and every one of them. Lord, we thank you for their zeal. We thank you, Lord God, for their dedication to do your will. We love you tonight. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The first word I want to talk to you about is the word vision. Jesus, the Bible says he saw this multitude. And you know, when you look at the films and you look at things, I'll tell you, we need to have a vision not only of the United States, but we need to have a vision of the world. The world, Jesus so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We need to have a vision of the world. And I was looking and studying a little bit. I don't know too much about it, but I did find out that what causes physical vision, what causes us to be able to see, is light. Light. It's a reflection of the light that goes into our eyes, physically speaking. And you know what? We need a vision. We need a spiritual vision. And we need the light to enter. Amen. We need God. We need Jesus to enter into our lives with his light and let it reflect into this world and have a vision of people that are dying without Jesus Christ. I want to have that vision. I want our church to have that vision. I don't want to get, I'm getting older. As you know, when I went to the mission field, I had black hair. Boy, that's been a long time, hasn't it? But I don't want to slow down. The body sometimes tells us to slow down, but I want to continue until the Lord calls us home, until the rapture takes place. I want to continue to work in Brazil and Africa and different places where we can give the gospel out, and here in the United States where we can tell folks about Jesus Christ. A vision, the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination and wisdom. All of these cards and visitation, what is that? That's a vision. That's a vision to have this place full on Sunday, that special Sunday. And God help us to have that. And the more of Jesus you get in your heart, the more light that you get into your soul, the more vision you will have for this lost world. God help us to have a vision. God help us not just to be satisfied with the status quo or be satisfied with what's happened. There's many great things that are happening. But listen, the future is what we need to think about. Amen. We need to think about the future. Let's fill every pew. Let's fill every bus. Amen. And I tell you, you don't get excited maybe like I do, but I tell you what, God, give us a vision, and God help us to see. Help us to see spiritually what he wants us to see. Moses had a vision. Moses was seeing him who is invisible. Moses chose to suffer with the people of God rather to enjoy the things of Egypt. And the Bible says that how he did that, he was seeing him who is invisible. You know who we need to see, don't you? It's all about him. It's not about Brother Pritchard. It's about Jesus. It's about him. It's about getting him the light in our soul. And like I was saying, I pledge allegiance to the Bible. I believe it's God's holy word. This Bible is sharp and powerful, and it'll pierce. It'll do the work if we can get it out there. Dr. Siler said one time, listen, you don't never have to prop up the word of God. Just preach it. It'll take care of itself. It'll take care of itself. The word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible says it's quick. It's quick. It's alive is what he's talking about. It's active. The Bible, the word of God, it's quick. It's alive. Amen. You remember what Paul said in the Ephesian believers? He said, you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. He brought us back. He resurrected us. And how did that happen? You're begotten through the word of truth. It's amazing, isn't it? How you can sit down. I know Brother Daniel and others. How you can sit down with the word of God with someone beside of you, and you can start telling them about Jesus, and you can start reading the Bible to them. And I'll tell you what, it just You know, you and I are saved by believing, right? We're saved by believing that Jesus died and rose and was buried and rose again. And if you get that same truth into the heart of other people, God will save them. This is the dynamite of God, they said. I told somebody, I said, well, if it's dynamite of God, let's put it in people's hearts and blow the devil out of them. Amen. It is powerful. It's alive. Talked to a man today, early this morning, a man over in West Virginia that I went to school with. He's 68 years old. I told him today that I wanted to talk to him. He's not saved. I don't think he's ever been saved. And, you know, I want to tell him about Jesus. Just a month or so back, I went up to West Virginia, went into the place where I was raised, and stopped by a little trailer, and I went into this man. He said, is that you, Paul? Is that you, Paul Pritchard? Is that you? I said, yeah, it's me. He said, well, come on in. I went in, sat down, and witnessed to him and told him about Jesus and told him about how that he could be saved and how that he could put his name in heaven. Read the Bible to him. You know what he did? He come out of the rocking chair down on his knees in the floor and said, I want to get saved. I want to have my name written down. And before he got it all his breath out, his wife over another chair said, yeah, I want to do that too. Can I do that? Can I do that? Oh, you can. You can. We need a vision. We need to have that God light in us. Why? So it will reflect to others. God help us. Moses, he's seeing him who was invisible. Amen. Abraham, you know what Abraham did? He was looking for a city, wasn't he? He was looking for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Just a pilgrim. You know what you and I are tonight? We're pilgrims. We got a better, we're looking for a country too, aren't we? We got a better place to go. We got a better place to go. And we're well on our way. Some of us will be there before dark. We're going to get there, amen. Lord's, he take us out when he wants. I know that, but I'm ready to go. When he's ready, I'm ready. The Bible says that, Abraham just obeyed God when he was called and just went out, not knowing where he went. He sojourned by faith. That's what we're doing. Sojourned by faith. It says these all died in faith, talking about others, Sarah and Abraham, having not received the promise. But I notice this, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. They had a vision, didn't they? We need a vision, folks. We need to have our hearts and minds open. You know, the Bible says the hearing ear and the seeing eye in Proverbs 20:12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. And I got to thinking the other day, yeah, the hearing ear and the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord have made both of them. You know what people need? They need to hear. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the truth. Because when you hear the gospel, I remember the night I got saved, and I remember it very, very well. When I got saved that night, I was sitting toward the end of the church on the left side, and that man of God thundered. He thundered preaching. I don't remember all he said, but he was loud. Brother Bob, he was loud. And he put his hand out, would anyone like to trust God tonight? And I didn't know what happened. Next thing I knew, I was on the altar. It's a long ways from there to the altar, but I don't remember. I don't remember coming from the from my pew to the altar. And the man said, what do you want to do? And I just fell on my face and asked God to save me. I didn't know how to pray. I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Boy, I tell you, God understands that language. He understands that language. When you tell him you're lost and you need to be saved, God will do something. He will do it. And I remember very well when God saved my soul. I got up just as 12 years old, got up and I looked at myself and I thought for sure I'd changed on the outside, but I didn't that day. But I did change on the inside. And God's been working on me ever since. We need to have a vision. You know, Peter, 2 Peter, I don't have that much time, but 2 Peter talks about adding to your faith, right? 2 Peter 1, chapter 1. It talks about adding to your faith. You're to add to your faith virtue. You're to add to your faith temperance. You're to add to your faith knowledge. You know, you're to add to your faith. You're to grow. You're to have, growth in your life. And I was looking, and it said, and he that lacketh these things cannot see afar off. But he that lacketh these things is blind, it says. God help us not to be blind. God help us to see, have a vision for people's souls and the work of God. I'm going back to Brazil. I got a pastor that's going to go back with me right after the first year sometime. We're going to try to go back, and I'm talking to the men there. I'd love to pull the door up on on some establishments up there. They got metal doors, you know, you pull them up, and I'd love to rent another place and get some pews and buy some chairs, amen. We need a vision, folks, of people that need the Lord. People need God. Secondly, the Bible also says that what you see affects your heart. Be honest with me, not did this affect your heart at all? It does, doesn't it? It affects your heart. But God can give you light in your soul. Secondly, not only Jesus saw the people, he saw the multitudes. But the next phrase says that he was moved with compassion. Compassion. Jesus was moved. You know what should motivate our lives tonight and our teaching, our preaching? It should be motivated by the love of God. Compassion. God help us to let the love of God dwell in our hearts richly. Constrains us, Paul said. He said, for the love of Christ, it constraineth me. God was moved with compassion. And I found something real interesting in 1 John chapter number 4. I'm not for sure, but I think it's chapter 4, 17. I don't want to go for time, but it says that as he is, remember the verse for Daniel, as he is, so are we in this world. So if Jesus could look and see and be moved, Jesus inside of us, we can look and see and be moved. God help us to have compassion in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Verse 16. Ephesians 3:16. That should be easy to remember, shouldn't it? Ephesians 3:16. That we would grant you, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. You know, God tells us that we're not only to love our friends, but we're to love our enemies, aren't we? That's God's love in our hearts. We are to have the love of God, the compassion of God. Jesus warned the church in Ephesus that they were not to lose or forsake their first love. We need the love of God to control us. When Jesus saw the multitudes, they fainted. They were, some even said they were loss of consciousness. They were scattered. Their direction wasn't, and Jesus was moved with love toward them. I'm glad of the love of God. Compassion pales us toward a particular course of action. The leper was healed. Jesus was moved with compassion and touched him. The maniac in chapter 5 of Mark was moved. Jesus was moved with compassion toward the maniac named Legion. The Bible says that he came to Jesus and said, "Lord, can I go with you?" He said, "No, just go and tell what great things God's done for you." We need compassion. God help us. God help me to have more compassion. Thirdly, we need to pray. Jesus told his disciples there as he was finishing there in Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9, that last is the third word. As he says this, and when he saw the multitudes moved with compassion on them, but they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." You know what Jesus said? Pray. Pray. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest. That's the reason you have prayer on Saturday. That's the reason you have prayer time here. That's the reason that we pray. And the Bible instructs us to pray without, help me. It's the most neglected, the most needed thing that we need to do is to pray. God reminds me every day. First thing, I try to get up and hit my knee. I'm hitting both knees now, but for a while I was just hitting one knee. But I can get down on both knees now and go to Him and say, "Lord, I can't do anything today. I need You. I need Your strength. I need Your guidance. I need Your will today in my life. I need to pray for laborers," like Jesus said. We need to see what He saw. We need to feel what Jesus felt. And we need to pray what Jesus prayed. Lord, help us. God, help us. Prayer. The disciples, Luke 11, 1, said, "Lord, teach us to pray." I like what Paul told the Corinthian church. He said, "I'll pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also." Pray always with all prayer and supplication, the Bible teaches. That men might pray everywhere, 1 Timothy 2:8. Acts 6:4 says, "But we will give ourselves continually unto prayer and to the ministry of the word." How important it is for us to pray. How important it is for us to have a vision, for us to have compassion, and for us to pray for laborers. You know, just pray, "God, send laborers. Send laborers." The prayer that he said there in verse 38, "Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers." And you know, before Jesus Christ chose his 12 apostles, do you know what he did? He spent the night in prayer. Prayer is important, folks. Vision's important. Compassion's important. Prayer. You don't want to do, I just wrote these things down. It'll lift the fallen, prayer will. Man called me yesterday. He was down. I know he was down. And he called me. And after 32 minutes talking to him on the phone, he was rejoicing in the Lord. And I'd preached to him for 32 minutes. I guess the reason he lifted him up. Showed him a few things in the Bible. And he just rejoicing. It'll lift the fallen. It will revive you. Prayer will revive your heart. Spend time with God. Spend time on your knees with God. Or in prayer, on your feet. I was getting ready to go to Brazil, raising my support. I had a special place of prayer up in the mountains of West Virginia. They had this, between the mountains was trees, and some of you in here have been to West Virginia, you know what the mountains are all about. I had a special place. I'd walk up and down this hollow up through there, and I'd pray. It was a creek bed, but it was dried up. And I remember one evening praying and walking and praying and walking and praying and walking and praying and walking. And I tell you what, it got so good, Brother Daniel. I mean, God had just moved into that little space there. And I said, Lord, please, can you just go home right now with me the way it is right now? Can you just go down home with me like this? The presence of God. You like the presence of God, don't you? Amen. I love the presence of God. And I remember walking down through there, and he said, son, just stay a little longer. And I turned around and spent some more time with him. Prayer, it removes mountains. If you got the faith, it'll move. Is that what the Bible says? It saves sinners from hell. Prayer will bring a wandering child home. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. It'll bring them home, folks. Prayer is a path to forgiveness. You know, you won't spend a lot of time on your knees and not get your heart right with God. You just won't. Not if you're sincere with God. I've experienced this. Prayer can start churches. I've experienced that. Prayer can keep them going. I've experienced that. Prayer can put missionaries on the mission field. I've experienced that. Prayer can heal the sick. I've experienced that. Prayer can save a marriage. Prayer can do a lot. Prayer can put you back in fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Prayer can get you out of trouble. Prayer can keep you out of trouble. Prayer is the way to God's throne. Prayer can keep you out of jail even. Prayer can get you out of jail. Amen. Prayer can give you wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, ask of God. Prayer can help you worship God. Prayer has no limit. Go to him anytime, anywhere. Prayer has no certain time set. 24/7 you can pray. Amen. Isn't it great? 24/7. Real prayer. In real prayer, you are actually talking to someone. Amen. You're communicating with God when you pray. Prayer is one of the greatest things that a Christian can do. One of the greatest things a Christian can do. Well, I tell you, when you get up here preaching, you don't want to stop, but I'm going to stop in a minute, okay? I've had that problem for years. God, quickly, I'll just take a couple minutes. If you're not saved tonight, you need to be saved. If you're not a Christian, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God wants you to know you need to be saved. For all have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. God wants you to know this, you cannot save yourself. You cannot save yourself. Jesus has provided salvation for you. You must accept him to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You might say, when can I do that, Brother Pritchard? I'll tell you what the Bible says. Now, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God speaks to your heart. You come to Him. God is not in heaven with His arms folded. He's in heaven with His arms stretched out, saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And you take your yoke upon you and learn of me, He says. Praise the Lord. Come ahead, Brother Daniel. Thank you so much for your prayers, and pray that as we travel to Springfield, Missouri to see Paul, he's still in intensive care, and pray that the Lord will guide me to be an encouragement to him. And we love you and thank you so much tonight. Amen. God bless you, my brother. Amen. Amen.
Well, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. We'll have just a brief time to contemplate the things that we've heard tonight. I can't help but be challenged by the thoughts shared tonight as we think about seeing what Jesus saw, feeling what Jesus felt, and praying what Jesus prayed. Is that what you're doing? As you think about your relationship with this passage and the God of this passage, what is it that God has spoken to your heart about? It's always good at a time like this as we see a video and hear from one who has spent 40 years laboring in this same track to ask God, God, what about me? What should I be seeing? What should I be feeling? Lord, what prayers should I be praying? We're going to stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a few moments. And I'm going to pray, and as soon as I say amen, I'll just sing a verse of this song, Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior. Just give you a few moments to either come forward and spend some time in prayer or stay at your seat and pray. And I'd encourage you, if you're thinking right now, well, I don't really have anything specifically to pray for, let me encourage you with something specific to pray for. Jesus had one prayer request, laborers. If you don't have anything else on your mind tonight, that's a really good place to start. Pray that God would call out people from our church, from other churches, so that the work can go forward. So I'll pray, I'll say amen, and if you need to come and pray at the altar, you do that. The musicians will pray as soon as I say amen. Father, thank you for this service. Thank you for this message. Lord, I pray during this brief invitation that you would seal the truths in our hearts. And Lord, that you would do a work through our church. Lord, I pray as we, as a congregation, pray in this one moment for laborers. Lord, for the harvest fields truly are white. They're plenteous, Lord, but the laborers are few. And I pray for laborers from our church. Pray for laborers to go and train in our country and in other countries where there are places, institutions designed to train them. Lord, I pray ultimately that we would all see we're supposed to be a laborer. Laborers together with you. Lord, I pray that you bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Though that His blessed face may be seen, nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, there's nothing between.
All right, very good. You can be seated and just have just a few things to mention as we go to prayer here. Just